This is the International Education Marketing Podcast, a roundup of news stories and how they might impact marketing and recruiting for the international education sector.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the International Education Marketing Podcast. This is episode 82, and I'm your host, Daniel Chatham. Today with me are...
My name is Nicole Irigoyen.
And I am Casey Altamiro.
Great. Nicole and Casey, thanks so much for being here. I am looking forward to hearing what you wanted us to focus on in this episode and getting into it. So, Nicole, why don't you start us off?
Thank you, Daniel, for the introduction. The article that I want to bring attention to this week is a study released by Kaplan on the current state of mental health for college students. And the article was very focused on what professors and educators, what they specifically can do to increase student mental health. And the point of the story really was that we can't always rely on counselors and specifically wellness staff. We have to build a community around positive mental health. So that's what the article was.
So what do you think about that?
Well, I've always viewed sleep as a social justice issue, which means if we think about the people that are not sleeping, and we know that sleep is inherently linked to mental health, right? If we think about the people that aren't sleeping, these are folks that are working full time while they're studying. These are folks that maybe have existing or previous mental health challenges. People who might have unstable housing or are unsheltered, people who are hungry or people who are raising kids or caretaking for elders. So when we think about mental health in college spaces, it's more than just a general issue. It's also racialized. It's also focused on gender. It's focused on social emotional status, and it's focused on a person's economics or income. So all these things are very related to the issues of mental health. And I hope to talk about those complexities even more in a few minutes.
Great. Thank you. Casey, what news caught your eye this week?
Yeah, thank you for having us. My news is my article is very different than Nicole's, but I found an article that talked about Zimbabwe losing a lot of teachers due to a new British recruitment policy. So basically what's happening here is the British government, they opened up The British government is trying to recruit more teachers from different countries to help support their teacher shortage. So what they have been doing is offering positions to teachers in Zimbabwe, for example. And if they were a qualified teacher, they were able to just come over and teach in the UK and not have to take any other tests or placement exam. So it's great for those teachers. However, the education system in Zimbabwe is really hurting from this because they have a very big population of young people in Zimbabwe. I think it was 41% of their population is under 14 years old. So with a lot of teachers leaving, that faces a lot of problems for the education system as a whole there. And Zimbabwe has seen this in the past with nurses and doctors, and their healthcare system has really suffered from that. So big change is happening there. So, you know, if Zimbabwe wants to keep their teachers, they're going to have to figure out a way. But a lot of people are planning on moving to the UK to work there.
Wow. What a dynamic situation. I wonder sometimes how these news items might affect students specifically. And then from a marketing standpoint, how they might affect competition for students. Now, in the case of Zimbabwe, it's not a market shortage in terms of some group of prospective students leaving. It's actual teachers.
Yes, correct. So it's actually teachers that are leaving. And yeah, it's a big difference for those teachers that do plan to leave with salary-wise. I think they were making about, I'm talking US dollars, but $75 a month in Zimbabwe to the difference of $2,800 in the UK. And I think when you think about marketing, I was thinking about, you know, marketing to teachers. So the UK has this great strategy going on right now because they're recruiting teachers and they're getting people to come over. So whatever they're doing is working. But I think of the other end of how is the Zimbabwe government going to market to keep their teachers? And what are they going to do to retain their staff?
Mm-hmm. And likewise, Nicole, I think with your article, staying student-centered is really an important place for us to jump off from. In this context, though, I wonder if there is a marketing and recruiting angle to students insofar as students have needs and needs can be met through a marketing process. So I'm wondering what you think in that space.
Yes, I definitely think there are both marketing implications and recruitment and retention opportunities while exploring positive mental health in the student population and professors that are taking a really active role in this. Everyone wants to be a part of a supportive, collaborative, uplifting, intentional community. And I think that universities have a lot of area to grow in this, because in the mental health field, there are both things in the prevention realm, right? So supporting people before they get to a mental health crisis, and the intervention realm, where let's say that someone's having mental health challenges, how the system reacts to that individual. And so if schools can figure out how to get this right, how to really tune into student needs and build the reputation for being very student-centered, to being very supportive, to being very proactive and reactive, I think those are huge implications for students being very excited to go to those schools.
That's a good point. And I think that your comment about retention is really critical. I was working with a nonprofit recently on their recruiting and retention challenges. And ultimately, if you solve the retention problem, you no longer have a recruiting problem. And I wonder if retention is something that you also see as a potential impact, Casey, in Zimbabwe, specifically the students that are left behind.
Yeah, for sure. I think, you know, with a big teacher shortage, what's going to have to happen is schools are going to have to be closed, class sizes are going to be increased. It's not going to be an ideal learning environment for the students. And if they have the opportunity to go elsewhere, they will. They're not going to stay in a class with all these people and not get quality education. So I think that hurts the students there. And I could see that as well in the college setting with Nicole's article of just, if you don't feel supported, students are going to leave if they're feeling all these things. And if you have somebody that's a really good professor that can talk to you about other things outside of the content, like that might keep people to stay. And I see that teachers wear many hats, whether it's an elementary school teacher or a professor. So getting good teachers and keeping good professors, that definitely helps keep your students happy. And I think too, with that, word of mouth for universities is the best way too. Like if people love their school, they're going to be proud of it and talk about it. And you know, that really helps with recruiting potential students.
And I think with retention too in universities, I can use a case study of CSUMB, right? CSUMB's target population is first gen, people that have been raised by migrant farm workers, people that are formerly veterans, people that are historically disadvantaged or low income, right? They have a lot of support systems for that student population, and that really is their mission. However, 60% of students don't graduate in 6 years. And it's a both and, right? Because students that come from those backgrounds need an opportunity, need a door opened, need and deserve to have educational opportunities. And they need to be placed in universities that have the capability and capacity to support them in an ongoing way. And so I think there are so many opportunities for students that I think it's a potential win-win, because for marketing and recruiting, universities are graduating more students and making more money, you know, frankly, from them. And students who are from historically marginalized populations are getting their degrees and walking across the stage with their diploma and then talking about their success for the rest of their life, right? So I think that there is tons of opportunity when it comes to retention and how prioritizing mental health can help with that.
I agree with you on the needs and the sort of mandates that this calls for. Thinking about the intent of the institutions to meet students' needs, and I'm talking about both kinds of institutions in Zimbabwe and elsewhere relative to these two articles. So with an institution that does seek to meet students' needs where they are. The meeting of the needs is part of the marketing mix. It's part of the product or service. But then there's an element of communicating about it. And so I'm wondering what kinds of marketing activities might be more or maybe less effective because we're making these changes, or in this scenario where we're still trying to meet students' needs, right? We're trying to offset the loss of teachers somehow, or we're trying to meet the needs of students to support their mental health and therefore their success. So what kind of marketing activities might be somehow better as a result of this, or somehow not as effective, if anything comes to mind?
Yeah, I mean, for me, I think about, this is for Nicole's article as well, but just thinking about those students, like you mentioned, graduating and being able to talk about their experience. And I think that's a great way to market of the, look at these successful alumni and this is what they're doing. These alumni could come in and talk to our program. Look at the success that we have, and sending out the alumni newsletter and things like that. Like, that is a really good marketing tool, I think, for that. And just kind of showcasing your student successes.
I agree with Casey. I also think that integrity is really important in this particular field, because you don't want to market something that doesn't exist, right? So ideally, marketing is aligned with initiatives that are increasing mental health, right? So that's my first thing, is integrity is very important. My second idea is that, yeah, I think that students who are underserved, they would love to see a version of themselves 5 years from now, 10 years from now, thriving, making good money, making the change they wish to see in the world, taking the jobs of the people that told them they can't do the thing that they want to do. Mm-hmm. And so I imagine just having alumni being really good models of what potentially a good future could be.
It's a good point. And I think embedded in what you just said, Nicole, is sort of an opportunity. And that is, you said that promises we make have to be fulfilled and we have to actually deliver on them. But what I wanted to do is to backward engineer something. If our students have a need, and our student services professionals are the first closest to those needs, and they identify them and then they start to meet those needs. Well, let's extrapolate that out and turn it into a marketable story to tell the experience of people that are going through successfully, that have the support structures. In other words, don't just fix the problem and then talk about it. Let that be a public, transparent insight into the organization. And I think, frankly, this could also work in the Zimbabwe case as well, where if there aren't teachers, and now what are we going to do about it? If there's a lack of teachers, there could be a lack of faith or confidence in the ability to get an education. And that might shake some people. That might shake their commitment.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I think I agree with being transparent and talking about the problem. And I think from what I've read right now, it doesn't seem like that's what the government's plan of action is. It seems kind of like it's, let's not talk about this. Let's pretend this isn't happening. But I agree. I think you need to be open with that and let people know what's going on and almost make your case as to why you should stay. Why do you need to be teaching in Zimbabwe? Why shouldn't these native teachers, why should you be here? And what are you doing? If you want to be a teacher, who do you want to teach? Do you want to work with people from your country and help? And again, even with successful stories, like maybe, look, you taught this kid all through high school and now they're doing great things in the world. And just having that kind of pride in the country instead of, you know, leaving. And I think also it's a great opportunity for people, teachers, to leave too. Like, I don't want to say don't do that, but I think being transparent and being open with, this is what's going on. And you know, once people do leave, this is what's going on. We need teachers. Let that be known. We have a teacher shortage. We're trying to recruit. What are you going to do to, if people leave, what are we going to do to fill that hole of those people that left? And I think, you know, being open is key in this situation.
Yes. And when I think about action, which is really the heart of what to do next, right? Because we could talk theory all day, but I would hope that we have some concrete actionable ideas as well. With Casey's article, I think it's just really important to acknowledge that Zimbabwe in particular is a previously colonized country by the country that is also extracting their teachers and continues to extract their talent. And so I wonder if there's an opportunity, not just for if there could be a win-win where Zimbabwe teachers maybe go to the UK for a year, and then the UK also subsidizes their pay when they move back to Zimbabwe to serve their home communities. So I think there's something to do about that. As far as actionable items in the mental health realm in universities and what particularly professors can do, the article provided a few suggestions, and I actually really agree with them. The first is to have an equitable grading scale to make the grade part of school way more digestible, to have classrooms that are a good space for learning where all voices are heard, to have staff participate in some type of mental health sensitivity and awareness training, to have items that prioritize student mental health on the syllabus and in the class materials. And then I think that story can be told from the marketing and recruitment perspective that, hey, our professors are working every day to actively integrate student well-being, and we hope that you join us in this mission.
I agree. And I think that's a really important recommendation and takeaway, is that whatever our institutions are doing to meet the needs of our students, we need to get that out into the public space, and not only solve the problem, but solve the problem and then let people know how we've done it. Partly that might lead to some new insights about ways to do it better, because people have opinions. And secondly, it also reassures our communities and our stakeholder groups that we're actually student-centered, that we're really taking care of the learning and growth opportunities in our institutions, whether we're talking about study away, grad school, international schools, or any kind of setting. I think that that is a really key principle that emerges from your joint articles, even though they were in very different spaces and really on very different issues. Any other thoughts or comments that you'd like to share before we wrap up?
I'll just share by saying, you know, in conclusion, I really hope that universities continue to prioritize and operationalize efforts to improve student mental health. It's not just a good thing to have. It's absolutely essential to student success.
Yes. And I just wanted to acknowledge that, yes, there is a teacher shortage in Zimbabwe and the UK and in the United States. This is a problem everywhere, not just in these two countries and these two stories, but we need some, I love Nicole's idea of the action items. I think we need some action items on how to help our educators out, pay them more. And everybody, I think, that's in here that wants to go into teaching and international education, if you're trying to teach abroad, kudos to you. And we need great teachers out there. So thanks for all that you guys are doing.
Super. Well, with that, we're going to come to a close with episode 82. And in fact, this is the wrap-up episode of season 4 of the International Education Marketing and Recruiting Podcast. Thank you, participants today, Casey and Nicole. And thanks to all the participants this season for what's been a wonderful set of discussions around the events in our world and how they impact international education, marketing, and recruiting. See you in season 5.